Again, Shalu Talmidav is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. The students asked Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Mipnei Maich Mira Torah Began of Yosemi Begazlan. Why is the Torah stricter with the thief who steals in private when he gets caught and witnesses convict him, he has to pay double? Why is it stricter with him than it is with a Gazlan, with someone who steals in the open, in public? Amalani explained, Zeh Hishvek Vod Eved L'Kvod Kono. The one who steals in public, so it's a bad thing, he doesn't respect God. But you know what? He doesn't respect people either. So that's not so terrible. The slave is like the master. But Vizeh, but the one who steals only in private, he's afraid of people. He respects people. But God he doesn't respect. So that's really offensive. No hishvek vod evelik vod kono. He won't respect the master as much as he respects the slave. He respects the slave. He's worried about what the slave will do if the slave sees him. But he's not worried about what God will do if God would see him. That's very offensive. Kiviyachol, if you want to have another, paradigm, similar paradigm. Imagine us ayin shalmata kilueno roa. He's basically saying God doesn't see. Ozen shalmata kilueno shomas. God doesn't hear. Shenemar, that's the verse that it says, Hoyama mikim Hashem. Woe to you who go so deep from God, lastir etza, to hide counsel, vayabim echshach ma'aseihem. It'll be in the darkness, their deeds, uksiv, and the verse says, Vayomru, they said, Lo yireka, God doesn't see, Lo yavin elokei Yaakov, the Lord of Israel doesn't understand, uksiv, and it says, Ki yamru, for they said, Azav Hashem et ha'aretz, God has left the earth, Vein Hashem ro'eh, and the eye doesn't see, God doesn't see. So they think God doesn't see, they can do in private, because as long as people don't see, they're okay. That's most offensive. And therefore, when they get caught, they have to pay double. But if a person does things in public, so it's true, he's rejecting God's law, he's ignoring God's law, but you know what, he's not worried about people either. At least there's some consistency in that behavior. So then the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir said, Mashlu, Mashal, Mishum, Rabban Gamliel, Amad, Avadomeh. And the name of Rabban Gamliel, they gave a parable, what is this like, a burglar who steals in private? L'shnei b'nei adam shayu b'ir. A burglar versus a bandit are like two different people in a city. Vasu mishteh, they both make a big party. Echad zimin es b'nei ha'ir, v'lo zimin es b'nei ha'melech. One invites the people of the city, but not the princes. Echad lo zimin es b'nei ha'ir, v'lo zimin es b'nei ha'melech. The other one doesn't invite the people of the city, and he doesn't invite the children of the king. Say zeu mehen on shomerubah. Which one deserves a worse punishment? Heveyomer, zeh shesimin es b'nei ha'ir, v'lo zimin es b'nei ha'melech. The one who invited all the residents, but he doesn't invite the sons of the king, that's offensive. The one who didn't invite anyone, okay, so it's not as offensive. Okay, Amar Rabbi Meir, now going back to another point of Jewish thought. We've been learning till now, for about a week or so, that the Torah says if someone steals a sheep or a cow, and then he slaughters the sheep or cow, so if he slaughtered the sheep, that he stole, he'd have to pay four times the value of the sheep if he was convicted by the court. And if it was a cow, he'd have to pay five times the value of the cow. Why the difference between a sheep and a cow? Why is the cow punished with a five times penalty and the theft of a sheep punished with a four times penalty? Amar Rabbi Meir explained, Borei kamagadol kolach shal malacha. See how great is the power of work. Shor shabitlo mimalachta. When you steal a cow, so you've caused a farmer not to be able to do work because the cow plows. So then chamisha, you have to pay five times. Seh, but if you stole a sheep doesn't pull a plow. So the sheep is not really working. The sheep is just there for wool. It's there for meat, but it's not there to do work. It's not a worker. So then shlobit lomim alachto, you haven't prevented work. Arba, you only pay four times. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai give a different explanation. Borei, come and see, come a gadol kavod abrios. See how God cares about human dignity and humiliation. Shor shalach beraglav. When a person steals a cow, he's not humiliated because the cow walks by its feet. So people think it's his cow when he's walking in the market with it. So Chamishi has to pay five times for having stolen the cow and then slaughtered the cow or then selling the cow. Seh, but when a person steals a sheep, the sheep runs back to its shepherd. It runs back to its pen. How is he able to get the sheep away? He had to carry it on his shoulders. So that's embarrassing. People say, why is a man carrying this on his shoulders? Must be he's a thief. So he was already embarrassed a little bit. So now he only pays four times. So since your kivot safe, we had to carry it on his shoulders, our boy only pays four times. Next Mishnah teaches us a very interesting law. Says the Mishnah, a megadlin behema daka beretz Yisrael. The sages made a rule, no cultivation, no raising of thin animals in the land of Israel. In other words, no raising goats and sheep in settled areas in the land of Israel. Why? Because the goats and the sheep eat a lot. And if I, let's say, live in a farm area, there, you know, my neighbors have farms and I have a ranch, I have sheep. What's going to happen is that my sheep are going to go nibble from my neighbor's vegetation. They will thereby defoliate the land of Israel, and they will ruin Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvah of settling the land and having the land filled with grass, trees, and fruit-producing orchards.
We were occupied in Syria at that time.
That's right. Aval, however, Megadlin B'Syria. In Syria, which was only conquered by David HaMelech on his own, as the Gemara taught us in Maseches Gittin, and therefore it didn't have biblical holiness of the land of Israel. In Syria, so we didn't care so much if the Syria gets defoliated. In Syria, one would be allowed to raise goats and sheep. Furthermore, in the wildernesses of the land of Israel, one could raise goats and sheep. Similar law, one may not raise chickens in Jerusalem. Why? Because in Jerusalem we have a lot of karbanot. Karbanot can't be made impure. So if you have a chicken, chickens always run around the garbage areas. And in the garbage areas they might find a dead rodent, like a dead weasel. And that is tamei, it's one of the shmoneh shratzim, it's impure. So you can't raise chickens in Jerusalem because the chickens might be finding pieces of dead rodents or pieces of dead carcasses, touching it to the karbanot and ruining the karbanot. So in light of that, lo kohanim beretz Yisrael, kohanim can't raise chickens anywhere in the land of Israel, mipnei ataharos, because kohanim have truma in their domain, which they have to keep tahar. Ein megadlin chazir b'chol makom, a Jew may never raise a pig. A Jew shouldn't raise a dog unless the dog is tied shut, because otherwise the dog might bite. A person, a Jew, may not put out a honey trap, a net for doves, because he might be stealing doves of people and it'll get caught in the net. Unless he is 30 ris away from the settlement, in other words, 4 mil away from where people are living.
Rabbi, is the Gemara recognizes the difference between a thief and a con artist?
Con artist?
They're both the same.
A con artist would be... probably would be a bandit.
Like Bernie trickery. Or somebody like that who cheated people in a different,
cheats with trickery.
Bernie with their own permission.
Probably be a bandit because it's in the open.
Which Bernie? Bernie Sanders?
Yeah. In Masechet Beitza, we didn't learn that you can't raise chickens in Yerushalayim.
Now we learn it. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, our sages taught us in a Braita, in Megadlin Be'Medak Be'eretz Yisrael, you can't raise sheep and goats in the settled areas of the land of Israel. Avo Megadlin Be'chor Shinsh Be'eretz Yisrael, but you are allowed to raise sheep and goats in the forests of Israel, because in the forest nobody can plant, so it's like the wildernesses, and therefore your sheep and goats are not going to be ruining other people's fields. However, Bisuria in Syria, even in a place with lots of fields, you can be raising sheep and goats because we're not worried that people's fields will be destroyed. We don't care so much. Certainly, outside of the land of Israel, you can raise sheep and goats. Tanya Dech learned in another braisa. You can't raise sheep and goats in the settled areas of the land of Israel. But they can raise them in the wildernesses in Judea, over Midbar Shebisfar Akko, and in the wilderness area outside of the wall of Akko. And even though they said, you can't raise a sheep or a goat in the settled areas of Magadlum Behemad Gasa, but you could raise a cow, a thick animal. You can't make a decree unless the majority of the nation can live by it. And therefore, if we would say you can't have, you know, thick animals, people couldn't live with. How are they going to work their fields? People wouldn't accept it. So therefore, we don't make such a decree. At the end of the day, thin animals, goats and sheep, you can import from outside the land of Israel. But behema gasa, but thick animals that you need to help you transport things and to carry loads and to help plow. You can't bring them from outside the land of Israel on a daily basis. And even though we've said you can't raise a thin animal in the land of Israel in the settled areas, Aval Mashu, a person can buy a thin animal that he's going to bring up to Yerushalayim to slaughter. Kodem L'Regel Shloshim Yom, he can buy it even 30 days before Yom Tov and keep it for 30 days. Kodem Ishta B'no, let's say he needs to buy the sheep because he wants to serve lamb at his son's wedding. He can again buy it and keep it in his home, Shloshim Yom, for 30 days before the wedding. Ubavachlo Yishes Achrona Shloshim Yom, let's say he has 30 days before the wedding. And he's buying animals each day as he gets closer to the wedding. He can't say, okay, the animal that I bought on day 28 has 30 days for it. No, it has 2 days for it. It has 2 days till the wedding. You can't keep it after the wedding another 28 days because you had a wedding, so you can keep it for 30 days. You have up to 30 days from before the wedding to buy it. And if you bought it 30 days before the wedding, you could keep it until the wedding. But not if you bought it 2 days before the wedding, you can keep it for 28 days after the wedding. You would have thought to say that if he bought animals before the holiday, now the holiday is over and he has some animals left over, and this animal that he has after the holiday hasn't been in his home for 30 days yet, maybe he can say that he hasn't yet had a full 30 days with this animal, so therefore, so he may not say, I still can have 30 days with this animal and I can leave it. No, when we say he can have an animal in his home for 30 days, that means 30 days prior to the holiday, he could have for those 30 days. But once the holiday is done, he has no right to leave the animal with him. He has to slaughter it. Next law about sheep and goats. Hatabach, a butcher, lokeach v'shochet, is allowed to buy sheep and goats and slaughter them. And lokeach v'shochet, he can buy sheep and goats 30 days before the market day. And he can have them in his home for 30 days, and then come the market day, slaughter them. Again, and he also has to be careful, once he knows this law, that if he happens to buy a sheep and a goat 2 days before the market day, he shouldn't leave it for 28 days after the market day, thinking, oh, I've got 30 days. He doesn't have 30 days. He has 30 days, if those are a full 30 days before the market day. It's 30 days till the market day. But if he started only 2 days before the market day, he only has 2 days. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe no. Not.
That way, I don't understand. That means a butcher cannot have a flocks of
that's
sheep.
Right. A butcher cannot have flocks of sheep in the land of Israel in settled areas because the sheep are going to be destroying fields of other people and ruining the settlement of the land of Israel. In a wilderness, it's okay. In a wilderness or in the forest where nobody is planting anything there anyway. Shalut Talmidav Rabbi Gamliel. The students once asked Rabbi Gamliel, Ma'ala Gadzel, can we raise sheep in the land of Israel? Amalan Mutri said, yeah, you can do that. I said, what? But what about our mission? We've just been discussing this. Ein Megadlin. It says you can't raise sheep in the settled areas of the land of Israel. This is what they asked Rabbi Gamliel. Ma'alishos. If you bought a sheep outside of Israel and you brought it into Israel, could you leave it in your home? Amalek, he said, yeah, you could leave it in your home. You could leave it in your home. As long as it doesn't go out to pasture in a flock. You can leave a sheep in your home tied to your bed. So that way it's not going to go and eat in anybody else's field. We learned in a brace, there was a story with a certain pious person. He was screaming that his heart was in pain. They asked the doctors, what can we do for this man who has heart pain? Amru, the doctor said, he has to nurse boiling hot goat milk every morning. So they brought him a goat. They tied it on the side of the bed, on the bedposts. Every morning he would wake up and he would nurse from the goat. After a couple of days, his friends came to visit him. Once they saw that there was a goat in the house, they were upset. They walked out. Amru, they said, listen, Mizuyan, we saw armed robbers. This guy's house, because a goat is a robber, it's going to go eat out of other people's homes. That's so we're coming in to visit him. So they checked, they found this was the only sin that he had. And this chassid, when he was dying, he said, I don't have any sins when he was dying, he said. I have this sin, though. I violated the words of my friends that I raised the goat in the land of Israel. The sages point out, why is it so terrible? This was in his house, so it wasn't out there eating from other people's fields. So they answer, Poskim explained that because he was a chacham, people used to learn from him. So the fact that he had a goat in his house was causing other people to have flocks of goats in the settled areas. So he felt that was a sin. But they didn't have other Jewish farmers that in those days where their sheep were eating their stuff.
But they were not butchers. So, Rabbi, I've been in some residence of big rabbis, and they, here and in Israel, they all have dogs. Not all. A lot of them have dogs.
No, rabbis don't have dogs.
No way.
No? Okay. I take a picture. And I show you.
Rabbis don't have dogs.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, it's another question. Again, it must have been because he's a chassid, because he's so pious, he felt he shouldn't have done it.
He was doing it for refuah. They were doing it.
People were learning from it that they could raise
goats. Amar
Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael told a tragic story. My father's family was from some of the great landowners in the Upper Galilee. Why did they lose their homes? Why were they ruined? Because they used to pasture their sheep and goats in the forests of Israel, and they were raising sheep and goats in Israel. That was one sin. Second sin, when they would have monetary issues, they wouldn't insist on three judges. They would only judge it with a single judge. Now, even though it was forests, and the forests were near their homes, so after all, the sages did allow you to raise sheep and goats in forests. So why were they punished? Because there was a small little field between their home and the forests. And they used to bring their goats through that field that belonged to somebody else. And the goats used to eat from that field and ruin that field and destroy the settlement of the land of Israel. So therefore they were punished. What's that? Yeah, private laws. Because it will eat from the fields of other people. In other words, it's a mitzvah for people to settle the land and to plant in the land. When you have goats in settled areas, your goats are going to be eating their orchards and going to be ruining Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Tanu Rabbanan, our sages taught, Ro'eh, a shepherd, Sha'asa tshuva, who does tshuva not to continue raising sheep in the land of Israel. Ein mechayven oso limkor miyad. We don't say he has to sell all of his sheep right away, because that's going to reduce the price of his flock, and then he won't want to do tshuva. Elamoch al yad al yad. We allow him to sell little by little. V'chein ger shenaflo klavim v'chazirim b'rishuso. Let's say a convert inherited from his non-Jewish father dogs and pigs. We don't make him sell them all right away. We tell him he can sell it little by little. So to a person who made a promise to buy a home, or to marry a woman in the land of Israel, we don't force him to buy the house or to marry the woman right away. But rather we wait for a woman who is a fit for him. It was a story with a woman who was a divorced woman. Her son was causing her a lot of pain. So she jumped up and she swore. She said, anyone who comes to marry me, he got me. I'm not going to reject him. So all sorts of people that are not righteous and not fit for her jumped up to marry her. When they came to the Chachamim, Amru, they said, no. Again, the same way when a woman says she's going to do something, doesn't mean she's going to do it right away. We give her a little bit of time. Here too, she only intended a person who would be a fit and worthy match to her. Shame, the same way our sages said that you're not allowed to raise sheep and goats in the settled areas of the land of Israel. They also said, you're not allowed to raise a small little deer or a fox, a wild animal that's thin, because it would also go and steal from other people's fields. Rabbi Shmuel used to say, Megadlin klavim kofrim, you can raise small dogs. V'chatulim v'kofim v'chuldot tzna'im, and you could raise cats and monkeys and weasels from the bushes. Because these little creatures will clean the house from the mice. My chuldot tzna'im, what are the weasels of the bushes? I'm Rav Yehuda. Shirtza charza. It's shirtza charza. Ika d'amri, some say charza. Tiktina shake. That have very thin legs. Viraya beni vardine, and it normally eats between the bushes. My shirtza, why is a weasel called a shirtza? It's one of the eight shratzim. The answer is, dimetati shake. It has very small legs, so it looks like it's a shoreitz, that it's swarming, that it's crawling along the floor. I'm Rav Yehuda, my Rav. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Asinu atzmeinu bebavel keretz yisrael b'madaka. We, the Jewish community of Bavel, have accepted upon ourselves to be like the land of Israel. We don't allow people who live in settled areas to be raising goats and sheep, because that will defoliate the fields of others and devastate the settlement of the land of Israel. Amar Rav Adar Bar Hava l'Rav Huna. Rav Adar Bar Hava said to Rav Huna, Tidach mai. So 1 second. So how are you raising a goat in outside of Israel? Emily said, "No, didan mine kamintera luhuchova. My wife Chova is watching it to make sure it doesn't eat from other people's fields." Amale, so Rav Adar Bar Hava said, "Rav Huna, Chova tikrinu lubnach. May Chova, your wife, bury her children, your children, because you can't do that. You can't rely on a wife to watch the goat from not stealing and ruining other people's fields." Kule shane de Rav Adar Bar Hava, the entire life of Adar Bar Hava, lo ikayim zara l'Rav Huna mechova. He never had children from his wife Chova that could last, that could live. They would be born and they would die because of the curse of Rav Adar Bar Ahava. Ikadami, there was another version of this story. Am Rav Huna Marav, Rav Huna said to Rav, Asinu Atzmeinu b'Bavel Keretz Yisrael b'Madaka. We have accepted in Bavel not to raise goats like they do in Israel. They won't raise goats and sheep. And when did we do this? Miki Asa Rav l'Bavel. Once Rav came to Bavel, because when Rav came to Bavel, The Jewish settlement in Bavel grew. Once it grew, there were a lot of fields. And now people have a responsibility not to ruin the fields of other Jews. Rav Shmuel and Rav Asi Iklu Lebei Shvua Ben. They once came to the party for a bris milah. Amile, some say it was Lebei Yeshua Ben. They came to a party for a pidyon Ben. So Rav Lo Ayel Kamei Shmuel. Rav didn't want to walk in because he wanted Shmuel to walk in first. Shmuel Lo Ayel Kamei Rav Asi. So Shmuel said, I don't want to walk in. I want Rav Asi to walk in before me. And Rav Asi Lo Ayel Kamei Rav. Rav Asi didn't want to walk in because he said, how could I walk in before Rav? So all three rabbis were left outside of the party because each one was saying, Rav said, Shmuel's got to go in first. Shmuel said, Rav Asi has to go in first. And Rav Asi said, Rav has to go in first. So Amri, so the student said, Ma Nitrach. All right, who's going to wait outside and let the others go in? Nitrach Shmuel, let Shmuel wait outside and see Rav Rav Asi and allow Rav and Rav Asi to go in first. The Nitrach Rav. Oh, Rav Asi. Or maybe let Rav or Rav Asi be the one to wait outside and let the others go in first. Answer the Gemara. Rav Milsab Almahudav Le Shmuel. It wouldn't be right for Shmuel to walk in before Rav or Rav Asi because Shmuel was less in stature than they were. And Rav, when he was the first one offered to go in, he refused to go in because Stam, he wanted to give honor to Shmuel. Because there was a story that Rav had cursed Shmuel's children. So since Rav had cursed him, he felt bad. He wanted Shmuel to go in first. And Adbury Rav Ale. So ever since then, Rav was trying to make Shmuel have added honor. So that's why Rav was saying, let Shmuel go in. Rav Asi was there too. And he couldn't get Shmuel to go in because it would be offensive to Rav Asi for Shmuel to come in before Rav Asi. Now Rav Asi didn't want to go in and then Shmuel and then Rav because he didn't want to insult Rav, who was his Rebbe. So while they're all negotiating, each one saying, no, you go in first, no, you go in first. Asa shunro katul yada diyanuka. A cat came in and cut off the hand of this baby, either the baby of the pidyon haben or the baby of the bris. Nafak Rav v'darash. So Rav went out and he said about this cat, Chatul mutar lohargo. Anyone can kill this cat because it's a damager. Asr l'kaimo, the owner can't keep it alive. V'emu mishum gezel, wouldn't it be theft to take this cat? And if this cat is lost, there'd be no mitzvah to return it to its owner. Now, Kevin the Amrit, once you say mutla harga, you can kill a cat. Maini Yusu, why does he add all these other points? That asa l'kaimer, you can't keep it alive. So now, ma'adu tema mutla harga, that means isura leka. You're allowed to kill it if you find it, but there's no prohibition in keeping it alive. Kamashman, that's what Rav says, that you're not even allowed to keep it alive. Amri, so they said in the yeshiva, v'kevendu amarat, and once you said, Eimu mishum gezel, that there wouldn't be any issue of theft if you took a cat, because people shouldn't be raising cats. So, my niusu, Eimu mishum hasheva veda lebaila. So, why do you have to say furthermore, you don't have to return it to the lost, you don't have to return it when it's lost to its owner? And so the Gemara Maravina Lo'oro, that means that if you found it, you can keep it, and you could even keep the skin. Meisvei, I'll challenge you. We learned from Shimon Elazar, Omer Megadlin Klavim Kufrim. You're allowed to raise small dogs. V'chatulin, and you are allowed to raise cats. V'kofin, and you're allowed to raise monkeys. V'chul dotznayin, and the weasels of the bushes. V'pnei shasrin l'nakeret habayis, because these things are needed to clean the house from the mice. So why does Rav say you're not allowed to raise a cat, and if you have a cat, you can't keep it alive, and you're allowed to kill it, you can steal it? And second, you can raise cats. Lokasha, it's not a contradiction from the Brisa to Rav. Habuchma, one is talking about a black cat. So a black cat doesn't damage so much that you can raise. Habuchivra, a white cat damages. It can bite off the hand of a child. Therefore, there's a mitzvah to get rid of it. Ava ma'isa de Rav Uchma hava, but in Rav's case, it was a black cat. No, Uchma bar Chivra hava. It was a black cat, the child of a white cat. Ava mi'boy boy le Ravina, but that was a question to Ravina. To boy Ravina, Ravina had asked, Uchma bar Chivra, a black cat, which is the child of a white cat, mahu, what's its status? Do we say it's a black cat, which is peaceful? Or do we say it's a white cat, which is nasty? So, the Gemara answers, Ravina had a question about a black cat that was the child of a white cat that was the child of a black cat. But Rav's story was, it was a white cat and had another white cat that then had a black cat. So that's certainly a white cat. That certainly is a nasty thing. And that, as Rav said, you can kill, you could steal, you don't have to return. Rav Acha bar Papa, the name of Rav Abba bar Papa, the name of Rav Adar bar Papa. The name of Rav Acha bar Papa.
Sounds like a
siyum. We make a very passionate prayer service to try to beg God to stop a plague of boils, even on Shabbos. And also we make a very powerful prayer service, Videlis Hanin Eles, for a door that's locking, for a door that's closing. In other words, a person whose business is not doing well, it's failing, is about to go bankrupt. We make a big prayer service for him on Shabbos. Lo b'meheira tipatach, because if the door locks and the guy goes bankrupt, it's very hard for him to restart. Balokeach bais, and somebody who buys a building, a house, land, the Eretz Yisrael and the land of Israel, kosan olav ono afilu b'Shabbos. You could even write the deed of sale on Shabbos, because it's such a great mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael to get the houses of Israel away from the non-Jews, from the Goyim. We could even write it on Shabbos. Well, we'll see in a second what that means. Meisrael, challenge you, we learned, v'shar peronios m'shakshos v'os ala tzibur, for all the other tragedies that come to the community, could go in chikuch like a boils or chagav or locusts or zvuv or worms and mosquitoes that are biting people or tzira or wasps, v'yitush, mosquitoes that are going into the eyes, or shiluach nachashim v'akrabim, or if there's snakes and scorpions in the around, lo yumatrin, they wouldn't make a big screaming event on Shabbos. Eletzokim, they would daven individually, but not communally. The answer is lokash, it's not a contradiction. Kan belach, if the boils are moist boils, which is not so difficult, then we don't have to make a communal prayer gathering on Shabbos. But kan be yavish, but if the boils are dry, then dry skin, which is very painful, then we can even make a big prayer gathering on Shabbos. Tam Rabbi Shuv ben Levi, Shchin Shevi HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Mitzriyim, the boils that Hashem brought on the Egyptians, lach mi bachutz, it was moist on the outside, but v'yavish mi b'fnim, it was dry on the inside, and that was very difficult. Shnamers, it says, v'yishchin ha'v'abuos poreach, v'adamu v'abeima, that the shchin was bubbling up, flowering on man and on animals. Then we said we can make a big prayer gathering with passionate prayers on Shabbos for a man whose business is collapsing, v'delas on an LS, because of a door that's locking on a person. Because once the door locks, lo b'meheretzi patach, it doesn't easily get reopened. Mahi, what does this mean? Marzutra Amar, it means like this, smicha. Let's say people are trying to ordain someone as a rabbi, he's just failing the test, he's not succeeding, we can make a big prayer gathering for him, because once he fails, it's hard to restart. Ravash Yamar, Ravash said, kol amarian lo, anyone who from heaven, they're making it difficult for him, lo b'meheir metivim lo, they don't make it quickly easier for him. And Rav Acha Medifti Amar, lo olam metivim lo, he used to say, if it goes bad, it never goes good. That was because Rav Acha Medifti had a difficult time. He thought he was going to become Rosh Yeshiva, and then he never became Rosh Yeshiva. Velohi, this is not a true rule that if you lost a chinuch opportunity, it'll never come back. He was just talking about his own experiences. It wasn't true for everybody else. Halokeach bayis beretz Yisrael kosvenol of ono afilu b'Shabbos. If you buy a house in Israel, the document can be written even on Shabbos. What do you mean, Shabbos halakadaita? How could you violate Shabbos to buy land in Israel? El kadama Rava Hassan, that's what Rava explained. Omer le'nachri va'osa, you can tell a non-Jew to write it for you. Achanami, so to hear Omer Lenachri, V'osi, you can tell a non-Jew to write it for you. Even though there's a rabbinic law that you cannot ask non-Jews to do malacha for you, Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, for the sake of the Jews settling the land of Israel, Lo Gazu Be'Rabbanam, the rabbis didn't make the decree. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amar Rav Yonasan, Halokeach Ir Be'Eretz Yisrael, a person who buys a city in the land of Israel, Kofano Salikach La Derech Me'Abaruchos, they would force him to also buy four roads to it from the four sides, Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, so that the land of Israel can be settled, and from all directions, people come to the land.